going to help it stand.
Yes, we're Ann and Dave Wilson, and that's Real Family Life.
This is KLYT, Albuquerque, Santa Fe. Rebroadcast on KNKT Cannon Air Force Base, K201CC Las Cruces, K228DQ Portales, and online at klyt.fm. From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE, ABQ Connect.
Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you, and I have Elma Reynolds in studio. She is the CEO of Joy Junction Homeless Ministry here in Albuquerque. And Dr. Brian Nixon, one of her board members, is on the phone. Brian, are you with us?
I am, Jim. Thanks for having me.
I love it. Let me tell all our listeners, they're probably very familiar with Joy Junction, longtime sponsor of the programming here on KLYT, and we have them on as often as we can, about every 5 or 6 weeks. Joy Junction is a 501c3 faith-based church ministry that offers emergency and short-term essentials such as food, clothing, counseling, transportation, shelter to homeless men, women, and children, and families throughout Albuquerque. Guests also receive an array of other services for their spiritual and emotional needs. The focus of the ministry is giving the homeless a hand up, not a handout. The Ministry of Joy Junction was founded by Elma's late husband, Dr. Jeremy Reynolds. Got to give him his due. That guy worked pretty hard at a lot of different things. Elma, I'm so glad to have you here. And Brian's been serving on your board for a really long time. What a blessing. Let's jump right into it.
Sure.
People might want to go to joyjunction.org and follow along on your website as we're talking on the radio. What does it mean when you say Joy Junction is an emergency homeless shelter?
Well, just the word emergency, it tells it all. So, you know, when a family, like, need a place to stay because they were evicted from their house or for whatever reason, even an individual men and women, you know, single men and women. So we are here to help them, for them to have a roof over their head, you know, not just for a night, but, you know, as long as they needed a place to stay.
Brian, I didn't know this till I was visiting with Elma right before we started today, but she said you've been serving on the board of directors at Joy Junction for some time now.
That's true. Jeremy and I went back many years. We were journalists for ANS News, and we admired each other's stories. And when I was still living in California and coming to visit my uncle, Jeremy had reached out and said, hey, let's get together. So we met for lunch, and he told me about Joy Junction. And we, of course, talked about journalism and other things. And then when I moved out here, so 16 years ago, Jeremy asked that I come on the board. So I've been serving on the board of Joy Junction roughly 15, 16 years.
Well, Brian, I've got a question that I don't mean for it to be difficult. I'm more than anything asking whether there's hope with homelessness. And what I want to ask is, do you think it's possible to break the cycle of homelessness? Because it seems like a pretty big problem.
It is a big problem. And I think there's very facets you really need to take consideration when you're talking about homelessness. So to say, just give a general sweeping answer of can we break homelessness, I would honestly have to say, unless we address the individual parts of homelessness, you're not going to break homelessness. There's always going to be homeless. And let me explain that. Is a lot of the homeless are drug addicts. A lot of them have mental health issues. A lot of them have family emergencies, which is what Joy Junction excels at. You lose your job, you lose, you know, everything, and then you're out on that. So I think we can help eradicate those certain homeless areas, such as Joy Junction with emergency. And a lot of these people get back on their feet. They do well. Joy Junction has an amazing record of seeing people get out of the cycle of homelessness. And that's part of one of the goals of Joy Junction. But when we're talking broadly beyond Joy Junction, you have to deal with mental health. You have to deal with drug addiction. You have to deal with a lot of socioeconomic issues. So it is a very complex issue.
Well, I think that, you know, I get emails every time we have you on because obviously homelessness, and I have some people that want to talk about the politics of it. I have. But I want to say by way of compliment to both of you, and I know that you depend upon the Lord for how you serve him. But I call this real ministry. You're really meeting the needs of people. Like, you know, we have this incredible storm this weekend, and if somebody calls Joy Junction, you're making arrangements to help them get some shelter. And Elma, I've called you personally. I had a young couple that was in our parking lot. Now, they ended up not taking advantage, but you were willing to even have people from your team come and pick them up and take them down to the facility. So you really are trying to help people. And as I read a little bit earlier, you're helping people with a hand up, not a hand out. So a lot of the people that are involved in your facility are people that have had unfortunate circumstances, but you're able to do all kinds of things for them other than just providing a roof over their head and three squares a day. What are some of the other things that you do for people?
You know, since everyone, every family, every individual that come to Joy Junction have different stories. So we meet at their needs. For example, if they are there because they lost a job and they're capable of looking for a job, and for the meantime, they're looking for a job, and once they get a job, you know, they can start saving money. We don't ask them to leave because they have a job already. You know, now housing is very expensive. So we encourage them. So we give them time. Don't pack your things right away and move out of the shelter, because some people are like, you know, you don't want to be in a shelter, so they are excited to be on their own. But later on, they are back again. So we give them time to prepare. And not only that, if they need, let's say, detox for, you know, alcohol, like we have one. And, you know, if willing, we send you to Mats for a detox. Anything that we can help them. You know, we have we call it residence resource services that help them connect with agencies where they can, you know, where they can get their help, even if it's medical or anything like ID, you know, Social Security ID. We help anything that, you know, we can provide resources for them.
And Elma, I know that there's a cost for you in taking care of people, but you don't charge any of the people you're helping, do you?
Everyone that stay at the shelter, they don't spend a dime. Everything is free.
And that leads me to talking about our listeners. And that's why they listen to our station, because they want to know what's the latest ministry, what's going on with this ministry. I think most of our listeners are familiar with Joy Junction because you've been part of sponsoring radio programming here for a really long time, and they're very familiar with, you know, your ministry has earned some accolades because you're there for people, and that says a lot. I mean, it's a faith-based organization. You have a chance to talk to people about your faith in Jesus, and at the same time, a person doesn't have to have like a faith in order to get services. You help everybody.
Even if you don't believe in God, it takes a lot of faith to not believe in God.
Yes.
So anyone, although because we have women's children, so we do a background check. So there are certain, you know, background check results that we can't accommodate at the shelter. But our staff at the shelter will refer them to other resources or agency that could help them.
So that says a lot to me, though, because you want to ensure the safety of everybody that's there.
Yeah.
But frankly, and I don't want to emphasize a person being a criminal because they may have committed a crime. But a person can be forgiven and restored and have a wonderful life. But until that, very careful. So really the only qualification is to make sure you don't have a criminal background before you come into the shelter.
Yeah, it's not only criminal because, you know, people change. Mm-hmm. So let's say the most important thing is they don't have, if they have a domestic violent charge. Mm-hmm. So let's say it happens 10 years ago, 16 years ago, those record. that period of time has a lot of things happening in that person's life. He could be a chance person. Yeah. So I said, okay, we can give that person a chance, but you know, we have to give him a warning that, hey, we will be monitoring you. So if you, you know, then we have to ask you to leave.
Yes.
So domestic violence and sexual assault charges, those are the two things that we can't really.
But the bottom line is you're making it safe for everybody. Mm-hmm. And there are some services for people that have gotten in trouble with the law, with domestic mm-hmm. violence and other things. There are some ways they can get some help. And let's say it's a man that's had those issues, but the family doesn't have any of that record. The family can stay with you.
Yeah, they can stay. And like, let's say, for example, Emily, and there is a domestic violence going on while they are staying at the shelter. So first we take some tips to address that problem. But after, like, let's say first, he can enter the theme of helping to keep the family together, the husband and wife, and still a problem going on, then whoever have the problem, like most of the time it's the father, so we have to ask the father to leave, but the mom and the kids, they have a choice to stay, and it's up to them.
Gotcha. But you're not dividing families. And again, you don't have to be a person that's, you know, preaching the gospel or even a believer. From any walk of life, you're going to help anybody that has need.
Yeah.
Brian, that's a heart that I know you've always had. You've always just enjoyed people for who they are. And maybe that's made you more effective in at all levels of ministry that you've involved in.
Yeah, I'll just go back to something you said earlier, Jim. You know, you said Joy Junction or any Christian homeless shelter, they really are people on the front line. I mean, this is day in, day out, recent, you know, just Sunday only type scenario. This is meeting people where they're at on a daily basis. And you are ministering to an assortment of people. As Elma already referenced, you minister to people maybe with alcohol issues and you try to deal with that. There's the financial issues. There could even be some, you know, personal issues that everyone's having to deal with. But this is day to day, and then you're really dealing with hundreds of people. So it's not like just two people you're dealing with. You're dealing with families and individuals. And so this is real life, day in, day out ministry. And it's effective ministry. Joy Junction has an effective, as I've already pointed out, very effective results in how they minister to the people. Elma's already pointed out that it's completely free. We don't charge people, obviously, to come stay at the homeless shelter. We rely on donations from the community. We rely on people who are listening to the radio broadcast right now who want to assist and to say, you know, we believe in that day in, day out ministry. And it's a lot of work. It's hard work. You know, in addition to that, Joy Junction has to get very creative in how it is doing its fundraising so it can minister each day. We have a thrift store. We have a car exchange program. In the past, we have. So we're really trying to not just rely on donors, which really constitute the majority of the giving, but we're also trying to find creative ways to bring that money in so that these people could be ministered to on a day-to-day basis. And we're not just talking about men or women. We're talking about families, children. We're talking about, you know, Elma has, and before Elma, Jeremy had, you know, families sometimes up with four kids, you know, mm-hmm. in the shelter. And so this is a very important, you know, frontline ministry that's happening in our city.
Yeah, and it's just so important to the community that you be successful. Elmer Reynolds is the CEO of Joy Junction, and Dr. Brian Nixon is he's part of the staff at Calvary Church. He handles publishing and oversees education, but he also has been serving for many years as a board member with Joy Junction. He's joining us by phone today. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about ways you can actually support the ministry. Brian already mentioned that there's a thrift store, and maybe you can donate certain, you know, food items. I don't know. You'll have to give us the qualifications on all of that. When we come back, we'll find out more about Joy Junction. I hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back.
KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Alma Reynolds, the CEO of Joy Junction, is with me in studio, and Dr. Brian Nixon, one of her board members, is on the phone with us. And we're going to talk a little bit about, we've already kind of talked about the fact you've got more than a couple hundred people involved in the shelter right now. All of us who have ever taken care of another family member, children especially, we realize the expense and how expensive that is. So I'm just asking if God's talking to your heart now. I'll obviously pray about it, but you might really want to think about the huge impact that Joy Junction is having in Albuquerque and doing their best to end the cycle of homelessness. Of course, in addition to the services you provide, they also have an opportunity to go to a church service mm-hmm. and to hear about the gospel, Alma.
Yes, we have we partner with some churches during Sunday. They're taking, you know, with transportation, bringing to the church and bringing them back. And we have several services also during the month, like once a week. There are some other churches that come and, you know, inspired with our guests and residents with the praise and worship and anything, you know, that could encourage them.
You know, I just thought of this, and I don't know if you or Brian want to answer this. Maybe Brian, because he's
and
the
give
education
you an example
guy.
Of that.
Yeah,
that if you were to get on Joy Junction's Facebook page, you will see Elma regularly posts different churches that come, and one of the ones that I always enjoy seeing are the Mennonite Church. I think they're down in the Belen area, and they come and they sing songs and they serve, and Elma will post pictures of the church members who are serving. And I just recently saw the Mennonite Church. So different churches will do. And I would encourage our listeners to get on Joy Junction's Facebook page and follow along what is happening there. Because Elma will post a lot of times what they're having for food, what's going on. But just as important, the different churches, because again, this isn't just one church-sponsored organization. This is a multi-church. This is the body of Christ ministry. So we rely on a lot of churches' goodwill and volunteer services. And so just a kudos and a thank you to the Mennonite Church, who regularly comes out.
Yeah, that's really neat. Brian, I'm going to ask you about education. Family staying at Joy Junction, they're trying to get back on their feet, maybe saving a little money, they get a job. You're going to keep them in the shelter, help them to save some money. And here's the other thing. The children are going to have an opportunity to go to school, aren't they?
Well, that's his number one requirements. When a family comes to the shelter, mm-hmm. If they have kids, of course, they need to go to school. And also the moms, like, for example, now we have a one mom because now recently we added a GED. Uh-huh. And soon she will finish her GED, and we are excited to have her in her graduation. So, yeah, that's one thing also we offer there. We have some partnership with other, you know, agency that help them to finish their GED.
Yeah. What a neat thing that is. And Brian, you've seen education really change people's lives, especially Christian education.
Oh, unquestionably. You know, education by law, you know, children are required to be in some kind of educational. So the parent would either have to be, you know, enrolled in a homeschool scenario, or they have to send their kid to a local public school. And Jim, let me just say that education has been a vitally important part of all homeless shelters. My work with homeless shelters goes back before Joy Junction. When I was living in Modesto, California, I volunteered and worked at a homeless shelter. When I lived in the Bay Area of California, I worked for the Tri-City Homeless Shelter, and it was always a top priority for family-based homeless shelters to ensure that the kids are getting education. As a matter of fact, when Melanie and I got married over 30 years ago, we had some of the homeless families come to our wedding, and they brought the kids. Because, you know, really minister to these families, and you get to know these kids. And one of the things you're wanting to do is ensure that they are getting the appropriate education so that they could then, you know, better themselves in the future. And Joy Junction takes that seriously. You know, as Elma pointed out, it's a requirement for families enrolled that their kids are enrolled in a school.
I love that. You know, we talked about volunteers and those kind of things, and you have people actually working in your thrift store, and you pay them to do that, don't you?
Yeah, we have paid staff, and we have also volunteers.
You also have volunteers?
Yeah, we have like this lady. I think 5 days a week, she comes over there from morning until 11 because, you know, she's retired already and she's helping, and she's a great help, especially for the jewelry because those are tiny, you know, tiny items. And
what kind of things do you like to sell at the thrift store? In other words, our listeners are listening. They probably have stuff in their garage they haven't touched forever. They might have dishes and cups and just stuff that they don't really use. Are those things that the
thrift store? Yes, everything that we need in a home.
Okay.
So as long as they are clean, they are still, you know, like if you were to ask yourself, if I will be the customer, I'm gonna use this.
Yes.
If not, then don't bring it.
Yeah. And again, this is not a dumping ground for stuff that really should be thrown away. And I think the heart of our listeners is they understand. They know that there are certain needs. Because you're going to help a family. At no point are they going to get kicked out of the shelter. But as they get on their feet, you've already mentioned that they're going to want to move on. And you might even help them with some things they need for their household.
Well, I want to clarify that, okay? Because people think like, oh, why? What happened to my donation? You are selling at the thrift store? Like, yeah, we are selling at the thrift store, but the process goes back to Joy Junction Fund. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, we take care first of the needs of our residents. And even those who get their housing or they are going to move out from the shelter, they get their own apartment or, you know, housing outside, we help them as much as we can. Whatever we have available at the property, at the shelter or at the thrift store, we help them what they need to start all over again.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And that would include, you know, small appliances like a pressure cooker or pots and pans or dishes.
Especially kitchen items. And sometimes if we have mattresses, you know, we help them. Anything that we have in our donation, we help them. Because that's the purpose. The only thing is like we have a lot of people that are bringing us donations and we can't keep them all. We don't have space. That's why we have this thrift store that also very helpful that whatever proceeds goes back to Joy Junction, it helps with our how many bills we pay every month. So just imagine how many bills you have every month.
Brian, I'm going to ask you a question about a person that is on the street, never expected to be there, especially maybe a dad, a parent, you know, maybe some bad decisions have been made, whatever it is, and the family no longer has a roof over their head. What do you say to that person that is maybe embarrassed to call Joy Junction and ask for help? Because that really keeps you guys from really helping them turn their lives around.
Yeah, let's say a family member who's homeless now, I would say you just have to take that first step. You really have to, particularly you mentioned, Jim, that they have a child. You have to concern yourself with the well-being and welfare of that child. And if you are living in a car or if you're living out of a hotel room and money is running out, it's okay to call Joy Junction. I have been, as I said at the beginning, involved for over 15 years, and it is a safe environment, well-run. Elma and her staff take it very seriously. You know, they view it not only as a ministry, but as a human service. They're dealing with human beings and want to care for those human beings. So I think it just really comes down to each person knows where their station is in life, and they know where their needs are, and they need to call and get that help. And if you don't have a way to get down to Joy Junction, you mentioned at the top of the program, Jim, that Joy Junction will come and get you. Let's say you've lost your living quarters, you've lost your car, and you're stranded at some park somewhere in central Albuquerque. Well, call Joy Junction, and they will come pick you up, and then they will begin the process there. Now, mind you, there are times of the year, Jim, where Joy Junction gets full. And so if there is a time where Joy Junction is full and unable to accept anyone at the time, they will work with other homeless shelters to ensure that that person can find room. And then when the appropriate opening comes in, they will, you know, try to find space at Joy Junction. Because depending on the economy in the country, you know, homelessness will go up or down. And there are times when Joy Junction is bursting at the seams.
Yeah. Well, let's review real quickly because we've only got a minute left. You can go to joyjunction.org, and immediately when you go there, you can see a donate tab, obviously donating and giving financial donations. Maybe a little bit every month might be better than just a one-time gift here and there. But if you can do that, you know, pray about it, think about it. But you can also make donations to the thrift store. Again, very lightly used clothing, household items, those kind of things, they're going to be used. They might be sold in the thrift store, but all of that money is going to go to supporting the shelter. Again, very expensive to take care of people. And, you know, think about yourself as a child. Let's say you're a 10-year-old and you don't really have any way to get any clothes. The shelter is going to help with that.
Yeah.
But think about maybe if you're thinking about donating, maybe you've got some cool clothes that a 10-year-old. I know this. My 10-year-olds, I have five children. None of my kids wore things as 10-year-olds for more than about 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've given away, they're all older now, but I gave away a lot of their stuff right away, and it was like it was brand new because they grew so quickly. You know, I'm 6'7", and I have some really tall kids, so they all kind of grew out of things very quickly. So we had a lot of stuff that we could donate. But that's just one example, and then, you know, thrift store, I told you I used to bring a big bag of rice that I bought at Costco and donated, and a big bag of pinto beans. So these are things that you can do. Now, you can donate canned food, but make sure it's not expired. You know, if it sat in your pantry for 3 years, you probably need to throw it out. And I'm just saying that because I think people have good hearts, but sometimes they just don't pay attention to that. Brian, thank you so much for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
Thanks,
I know it's
Jim.
Your day off. And Elma, it's always a pleasure to see you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
We're going
to
be back with Holly
Thank
Brooks.
You,
okay. We're going to be back with Holly Brooks with Eastern Hills Christian Academy right after this break.